magazine of college recruiting. This is the show where you'll learn about the latest tips and tricks on how to maximize your scholarship opportunities tenfold. You'll learn the hows, whys, and whats of college recruitment and scholarships. Let's get into it.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 48 of the NSR podcast, the show where we give you the latest tips and tricks on how to maximize your collegiate opportunities. This week, we have the boss man on. Matt's been filling in for you over the past few months.
He has. Matt's a little busy today, and a big shout out to Matt and all the viewers and the listeners out there as well. But Matt, congratulations to yourself and Brooke on having a beautiful little baby boy called Hudson Wade. So all the listeners and the viewers, shoot Matt an email if you can. Congratulate him on having a beautiful little boy. So I'll be taking my position back at the helm of the podcast today.
At the throne. Look, this week we're going to be walking through Pomona College in California. Beautiful campus located halfway between LA and San Bernardino. If you're on YouTube, make sure you have a look in the background on the green screen just there. If you're not on YouTube, jump on, have a look. It's really awesome. While you're on YouTube, don't forget to hit the red subscribe button.
Smash that subscribe button.
Exactly.
Jump on not on Spotify yet, but on...
We're almost on Spotify. On iHeartRadio. Coming soon.
Any podcast app, get on there and subscribe. Leave us a review on there. Yep. It also helps for our playlist as well. So if you're liking what you hear, especially what you hear and see, by all means, please do us a favor. Do yourself a favor and jump on, subscribe on any of the podcast apps and allow us to get more information out to you guys.
Exactly, and we've taken on board your feedback, and we've tried to make the podcast a little bit shorter, closer to 30 minutes, which is easier listening for all you guys and girls out there. This week, Marco, we're going to be speaking about timing. More specifically, how do you know when and if you're ready to apply for
the million-dollar question?
The million-dollar question, exactly.
How do you know if you're ready to apply for a scholarship? It's a very, very I guess popular question that comes up. Obviously, I speak to a lot of mums and dads on a daily basis, and it's one of the things that they try to understand, I guess, before they even start the process. So in today's episode, we're gonna let you know. How do you know when you're ready?
And we'll expand on that throughout the episode. So stay tuned. It's gonna be a really good episode. So Marco, how do I know if I'm ready to go to the US? And I guess that's the big question, obviously, to the theme for this particular podcast. And if you're sat there and you're waiting for maybe a light bulb moment, or you're waiting to be ready to go to the US,
You're waiting for your child to say, "Yep, I'm ready."
You'll probably never go, because at the end of the day, it's not about just jumping on a plane and going. There's obviously so much more to it, and our job, obviously, with what we do, it's not about putting athletes, students, performing artists onto the plane and sending them to the US, is it?
No, definitely not. Look, I think, and this is something, again, that comes up a lot, like, as parents and as student athletes, when you're even starting this process, you need to kind of separate the emotional from the logical sort of thinking, right? So the logical thinking is, yep, I'm going to start this and it's going to provide an outcome and I'm going to jump on the plane and go. And the logical way is not how, as humans, we're actually trained to think. It's an emotional sort of thought, and especially something like this. So what mums and dads are typically waiting for, and what students are waiting for, is that light bulb moment, as Richo said, where you suddenly say, yep, I'm ready to go. Now
I want to go.
And I know we're going to touch on a lot of it, of how the parents sort of go through it, but you have to separate those two. Going and getting an offer. So how do you know if you're ready to apply for a scholarship? Well, the moment that you even think about it, that's when you know you're ready to apply.
Yeah.
How do you know you're ready to go is a completely different discussion, and probably another podcast.
Exactly. Right? And we're going to get into it a little bit more later on in this episode. But basically, to sum that up, you can't decide you want to go to the US before even getting offers and opportunities to go to the US. And our job is obviously to provide you with that option, so then you can sit down and say, okay, I've got these opportunities.
I'm ready to go.
Exactly. I've got these opportunities in America, may have some options here. Now I can say I'm ready to go, because you have those opportunities and offers in place.
And that's probably one of the reasons why a lot of students who and a lot of the viewers and listeners who contact us and say, okay, you know, we've been listening to the podcast for a while.
Yeah.
We've started the process, but we're not sure what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when we're ready to actually continue with the process or when we're ready to go.
Yeah.
And that's because you're looking at it from the long way. So any viewers or listeners out there that are going at this alone, the moment that you've started to apply for the process and apply for a scholarship, that's you ready to apply for a scholarship, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Then going, we'll separate that now and explain.
Yeah, and that's obviously a different thing. But I think a good place to start this episode is with your options. So your options after high school. I think that's a good sort of area to start this podcast. Obviously, you have... There's plenty of different options after completing high school.
Look, you've got the popular ones where you've got the gap year, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that's becoming more and more and increasingly popular in Australia and in New Zealand as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of these stats that come out that state, you know, students who take a gap year end up doing better in uni, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, you know, just be mindful of where you're reading all the stats from, because sometimes they might be based... Like, I know Kentucky Tours do a specific stat around travelling abroad that might be specific to travelling abroad. And then you've got University of Melbourne or University of Queensland will do their own sort of stats. But, you know, gap year is one option that that students have after high school.
Exactly. I bring this up because you don't have to, again, you don't have to decide now to go straight after high school because there are options.
Yep.
Even after high school to potentially defer, take a gap year.
And that is going to be another podcast, I believe, over the next week or two. We're going to go specific on the gap year component and how it can be a good idea, but how it can also be a bad idea. So we'll definitely touch on that in more depth. But in terms of an option, gap year is 100% an option that you've got.
Exactly.
You've got going in straight into uni. You can go straight into uni in February after year 12. So you finish year 12 in...
Uni here in Australia.
Yep. Finish year 12 in December, February, first semester of your uni, you would start.
Yep.
That's another option.
Mm-hmm.
You can obviously start TAFE or an apprenticeship or something like that directly after year 12. So you're, I guess as a teenager and as parents, the whole purpose is to provide options.
Exactly.
And to create as many options.
Yeah.
When you start to apply for a sports scholarship or a performing arts scholarship or a visual arts scholarship, you're simply creating another option.
Opening up another doorway.
Another door.
Yeah.
For your child to choose whether or not they want to pursue that pathway or not. And again, going back to what we said at the start, whichever pathway they take, whether it's an apprenticeship or a gap year or straight into uni or Kentucky Tour or...
Yeah. It's a popular one.
Or studying abroad in the US. I think parents out there, I think you probably all agree with me, is that teenagers are teenagers and you expect them to change their mind a million times.
At the drop of a hat.
a million times, day in, day out, they'll change their mind 100%. Yeah. So you can't expect your students and your children at 15, 16, 17 years old to have a decision automatically about the end result.
Yeah.
What you can do is provide them with as many options as possible, and then when the time comes to choose one, allow them to make that decision.
Exactly. And I'll bring up the gap year option again as well. If you're a student or an athlete looking at heading over to the States, the first point of entry is August of the following year after graduating. So if you are looking at taking a gap year, that's 8 months after you finish high school.
Like, if 8 months isn't enough of a gap year, then I'm not sure
what else exactly. What else you need. So like, as you said, that's pretty much the gap year there. And if you aren't ready to go over in that window, you're allowed to take off
an extra few months up until January.
Exactly, and head over in January. However, you need to be aware of a few things if you are looking at heading over in January. For example, if you are a soccer player or a field hockey athlete or
you're going
female
mid-season.
Volleyballer, exactly, you're heading over after the season has ended and that you're heading into your spring season. So all the athletes, the guys and girls that are there already have that sort of relationship and you're going in... halfway through the year.
Another thing is schools, their budgets are going to be different. Their recruiting needs are going to be different. So the idea of starting later on is a possibility, but it is definitely something that you need to think about beforehand about how it's going to impact you. And again, as I said before, we're going to go into depth probably next week's podcast episode around how the gap year is a good idea, but how it can also be a bad idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is your, I guess, your standard sort of approach.
Exactly.
Finish year 12 and off you go.
Exactly. And don't, like, when you are taking a gap year, if you're looking at deferring, like, a further year, that always needs to be your sort of personal, like, choice. If you're not ready to go over emotionally or mentally, then that's completely fine. Yep. Take an extra year. If you're not ready to go over because you want to save up a little bit more money, perfectly fine.
And the key thing there, Richard, what you just mentioned is you're not ready to go over.
Yeah.
You're not ready to apply.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Yep.
If you think you're not ready to go over or not ready to apply from an athletic standpoint, that like if you feel you're not ready athletically, like that's not a thing. Like if you're not ready, you need to head over to the US as early as possible because where you're gonna that's where you're gonna develop.
If you're waiting for that one special game or one special meet or event that you do here in Australia and New Zealand before you go, that day may never come.
Yeah.
Right. So the quicker you get over there, the quicker you can develop and become a better athlete and obviously get into the whole swing of things as quickly as quickly as you can. So that moment, I'm not ready to apply for a sports scholarship because I'm not ready athletically.
Or not ready to go.
Not ready athletically, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Not ready to go emotionally, potentially. Not ready to go financially, potentially. But not ready to participate, I guess, because I'm not fit enough.
Yeah.
I'm not strong enough because that's the whole point of actually going
over,
actually get better.
Exactly. And if you're going this alone, the decision of providing yourself with that option and providing yourself with offers and opportunities, that needs to happen. Like, you can't just decide to sit down and say, okay, now I'm finished grade 12.
Then
now
I'm
I want
ready.
To get offers. Now I'm ready. Because I guarantee you, it's probably not going to work.
In fact, Richard, I would go as far as saying, how do you know you're ready to apply for a sports scholarship? The answer is, you apply when you're actually not even ready to apply, not even ready to go. When your child's too young for you to even think about letting them go, right? So 15, 16 years old, there's no way I'm letting my child leave just yet. Great, perfect time.
Exactly.
That's you're ready to apply.
So pretty much the second you even hear about this opportunity, that's when you need to start. Exactly. There's certainly no time to waste. But look, we'll head into the next segment. We'll expand on this a little bit more and we'll talk about the difference between applying and actually going to the US. So stay tuned. All right. So let's talk about the decision-making process and the actual topic of this podcast. How do I know when I'm ready to apply for a US scholarship?
Yeah, and I think in the last couple of seconds, we've tried to sort of explain the difference between applying and going. And I think what I'm going to sort of do in this one here is try and sort of give some specific examples of how that works. So students will always contact me towards the end of year 12. They've got back from their... what's it called? I'm showing my age here.
Schoolies,
right? I'm showing my age.
Schoolies.
So they come back from schoolies.
Yeah.
Mum and dad say, hey, little Johnny, what are you going to do next year?
Yeah.
You haven't applied to uni. I'm not having you sitting at home do nothing.
Yeah.
I saw, so-and-so's daughter who's in the US. Why don't you do that? And little Johnny then says, great, Mum. Yep, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And contact me in January. And it's like, and it's not helping me get over there in August. Now, I'm not saying it's completely impossible, but your options become minimal, right? And your options become like it has to be a specific discussion that is had with specific students based on eligibility and the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
But that example there is when a student has decided they're ready to leave, right? They're ready to go. Ready to go and ready to apply two completely different things.
Yeah.
The student who prepares themselves as I'm ready to apply
In
advance will receive greater opportunities and more options and bigger scholarships than somebody who decides I'm ready to go. And the reason for that isn't necessarily ability or grades or academics. It's timing in a lot of the cases.
Timing. Exactly. And as you said, a lot of the time people will try and start this process when they're ready to jump on the plane.
Yep.
And again, there's a big difference between applying for scholarships and starting the whole process early. And if you look back or listen back to episode 44, How much time do you need to find a scholarship? If you're going it alone, after listening to that episode, you'll understand that it takes about 18 months to find an opportunity that is, like, even one opportunity that is suitable.
And just want to explain there, Richo, like, going at it alone is completely different to allowing us to actually do it for you, right? So, and that's because when we do it, there's specific things and shortcuts and tips and tricks that we know that will allow us to sort of navigate the process quicker. But when you're going at it alone, if you haven't done it yet, download the free 12-step guide that's online on the website. Just go to nsraustralia.com.au, on top right-hand corner, download the free 12-step guide. That'll show you the 12 steps you need to take.
Yeah.
Some of those steps require time. And
a lot of it.
Every step requires time, but some of them are going to require more time than others. And if you're going through that alone, it's an 18-month process at very least, in order to provide yourself with heaps of options and heaps of opportunities.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you can't get options overnight.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. But whether or not that option is suitable or matches or is, you know, financially affordable or et cetera, there's so many other factors that come into play.
Exactly. And getting an offer that is, as Marco said, completely suitable for you. So, you know, it suits up to your academics and it's going to challenge you academically. You can get into the school academically. It's somewhere where you're going to fit in athletically and, again, be challenged athletically in your first year. And then the final hurdle is making sure that it's actually affordable. Is there scholarship available? Are costs going to be low enough to where...
to the position in the team?
Like, finding that opportunity is hard. But it's even harder to actually turn that offer, if you do receive one, into jumping on the plane and, 100%. And going.
For there's a lot of viewers and listeners out there, Richard, who have just had their child leave and or depart for college, and they'll know that a lot of the hard work actually starts once you've received the offer, because the college coach, he's done his job or she's done her job. They've provided the offer. They've said, yep, Jacob, I want you.
Yeah.
That's it. And then they move on to the next athlete, or they go on holiday as well because they've got families, right? So, and then you're required to deal with admissions on your own. Admissions at that point doesn't really care too much about who you are or that the coach wants you.
Yeah.
Admissions treats you like a normal student. So they're going to have specific deadlines that you need to do, that you need to follow. They're not going to call you specifically and say, hey, Richo, or your application
this
form
is due,
is missing.
We're still needing this.
An affidavit of support, we're missing some photo ID. They will just grab it and put it to the side and say, you know, when Richo decides to contact me, I'll tell him that that's wrong. Because they've probably got another 1,000 or 10,000 applications just waiting there.
Exactly.
So that's, I guess, another reason, probably the main reason. So timing will determine the amount of opportunities, the amount of scholarships, the amount of opportunities that are going to be available to you.
Yeah.
Whether or not those ones that are left over are even suitable is something that is a big variance in the whole process. So going back to how do you know if you're ready to apply? Well, if you're waiting to the end of year 12 to receive your ATAR score, to come back from schoolies, to come back from your Kentucky tour, to have all your money ready in a bank account, ready to go, then you're not going
to
go.
And then you want to head over to the US in that next window.
You're not going
to
go.
Exactly. Yep. And as Marco said, roster spots will be filled up. Scholarships will already be given out. Less likelihood of you receiving an affordable opportunity, obviously. Application deadlines have passed. So there are a few things that you need to be wary of. Again, it's not about deciding to jump on the plane. It's about deciding that you want to give yourself the option as early as possible.
Correct. I think another thing that comes up as well, Richo, and I'll speak to a lot of the parents, is the US pathway for a lot of families is an option, and a lot of the times it's not their first or second option, right? And I understand that because, you know, everyone's got their preferences. Now, if you treat this as your second and third option and you put the effort that warrants a second and third option, then you're probably not going to get the result anyway because you're not treating it like it's supposed to be treated. Now, having it as your third option, right? So your first option could be your Kentucky tour. Your second option could be traveling to Spain with family, right? The third option of going to the US could be potentially your third option, but you still need to put the same effort in order to even make it an option.
Exactly.
Because if you don't put the effort into it and the time into it, then it won't even be an option.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you just purchase and just happens. It's not a tour that or a flight that you just pay for and off you go.
Exactly.
You know, there's a whole process.
There's a lot to it. And the key really of this segment is the longer that you wait, the less chance that you'll have in going over it all, but receiving opportunities that suit you academically, suit you athletically, and obviously somewhere that's going to be affordable as well. There's a big difference in deciding to go to the US and actually applying to schools and searching for opportunities. I remember going through the process myself. I really, thinking back, I'm not 100% sure why I signed on at that point in time, but I just knew, like, I didn't know exactly that I wanted to go to the US straight after high school. That was the only pathway.
No,
I just knew I wanted to have the option. So when I did finish high school, I could say, okay, I've got these opportunities in the States. I've got an opportunity to stay here and work or study. Then I sort of sat down with my family and said, you know what, I actually want to go to the US now. Yeah.
Well, I remember speaking to you, Richard, like, what was it, nearly
10 years ago now.
You were just a young boy. You're still young now, but you were just a young boy who was in year 10 at the time.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know that you weren't ready to go. And I'm sure your dad, you know, as a champion as he is, he wasn't going to let you leave at 14, 15 years old, right?
He wasn't going to let me make that decision at 14, 15 years old.
No, correct. But he was happy to provide you with the option.
Exactly. And if I didn't give myself that option, then I certainly wouldn't be here today.
Correct.
Doing this sort of stuff, which is awesome.
I'm grateful, Richard.
Exactly, me too. Look, last segment, we're going to expand a little bit more on this topic, and we're going to finish up pretty much right around 30 minutes, which is awesome.
Beautiful.
It's a bit easier when Matt's not here. I'm sure all you listeners out there can relate to that one, but look, stay tuned. The last segment's going to be really good as well.
We're away. Yeah, look, I think on this last segment, it'll be a very, very short one. But one of the things that we wanted to touch on was, I guess, when teenagers are asked, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
What do you want to study at university? What subjects do you want to pick in year 11, year 12? What do you want to be when you grow up, right? It's the million-dollar question. And the reason I'm so passionate about this question is because
a lot of the time it's asked to kids when they're in year 10,
correct,
or year 11 as well.
And you've got no idea. When I was 14, 15, I promise, Richard, the only thing I actually knew I wanted to do was play video games and play soccer. Like, I didn't know anything else. I didn't look at life that way.
No.
There's some kids and some students out there who do know they want to be lawyers and do know they want to be engineers.
Which is awesome, exactly.
Which is fantastic, right? But there's a small percentage.
Yeah.
And I think as the world's evolving and with the amount of options and choices and information out there, I think slowly what we're seeing is there's a bigger uptake of students who don't know what they want to be.
Exactly.
There's a bigger uptake in entrepreneurship and things like that, which is great. And I think we need to evolve with the times as well as parents. And I speak as a parent because I've got two little boys at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I'm getting into this topic is because when people sort of talk about going to the US,
mm-hmm,
and heading back to the same topic of this podcast, which is, how do you know if you're ready to apply for a sports scholarship?
Yeah.
That is a completely different question to, are you ready to go? And if you're asking your 14, 15, 16-year-old boy or girl,
mm-hmm,
are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to go?
Is
this really what you want to do?
Yeah.
There's going to be a small percentage that say yes,
mm,
because it's the same small percentage that know what they want to be.
Exactly.
Know
what they want to be, lawyers. Or
it's the same small percentage.
Yep.
There's going to be a large percentage of students who don't know what they want to do, but they want to have the option to do it.
Exactly.
And I think as parents, it's important for us to sort of separate that and understand that our kids are still young. They're still teenagers. Yep. They change their mind a million times. And the only question you need to ask yourself as a parent is, do you want to invest the time to provide the option for your child that he or she may not want to take up?
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty simple.
Exactly.
Because if you don't want to invest the time and all the money in providing an option that they may not take up, then I would recommend not starting the process that you're not ready to apply for a sports scholarship, because you need to understand that child may not go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough one to...
Exactly, and I'm assuming, like, I'm not a parent, but if I was, and I'm guessing this is the case for most parents out there, you obviously want to open up as many doors as possible for your kids. You would do anything for them. And again, at the end of the day, it's about opening up different sort of pathways for them, giving them options.
And I think we would all love to know...
I think everyone would agree.
I think we'd all love to know that if our child starts something, that it's going to finish.
Yeah.
Right? And I, you know, I'm a big believer in telling your children, if you're going to do something, do 100% or don't do it at all. I get that, right? These are the same sort of cliches that a lot of our parents have been saying for years. But there's certain things that you can't necessarily hold them to for the rest of their life. Yeah. You can't tell your child... When you're in year 10, pick your subjects that you want to study at university because you're going to go and do something at uni for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, the child wants the option of university, wants the option of studying abroad, wants the option of getting a degree. What degree that is, where they want to study abroad is the option that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the specific outcome. So I don't know if I'm getting too technical there.
Like we said, if you are like asking your kids that same question when thinking about this opportunity, or if you're about to, you know, join NSR or start the whole process on your own, are you ready to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? Is this what you really want?
It's the wrong question.
Exactly. Like, it's the wrong question. And like we said, majority of the time you're going to get probably a vague answer, or if you ask them, you know, enough times, they'll say no.
Or they'll say yes. You know, like you can ask them enough to get the answer that you're looking for, and if you're looking for the answer that they say yes, they are ready to apply. Yep. Then if you ask them enough, they'll give it to you eventually.
Exactly, and there's no wrong answer with the decision sort of making process. It's always up to the individual and the family, obviously. And
no wrong answer, but there is a wrong question.
The wrong question that you can be asking your kids.
So how do you know if you're ready to apply is completely different to how do you know if you're ready to go.
Exactly. There's a massive difference in both of those sort of statements just there. But the key is if the second you think about the opportunity, then that's the point in time where you're ready to start exploring opportunities and start researching. And
first thing for everybody, all the first timers out there, read the 12-step guide that we've put together. It's a free 12-step guide. Tells you the steps that you need to take in this process.
Whether you're a performing artist, visual artist, athlete,
they're all
student.
On the website. Go to nsraustralia.com.au.
Exactly.
On the top banners, you'll be able to see any one of those guides. Start there, and then that'll give you an idea of the time that you need.
Yep.
And obviously, keep subscribing, keep listening to these podcasts. I'm sure we'll provide some great answers. And like next week, I believe I've seen the topic was for next week.
Yep,
I created it, but I think it's a gap year one that we're going to be talking about. But awesome. Don't hold me to that.
Exactly,
we might come up with a better one because these topics are all based around your feedback.
Exactly. And if you do have any feedback, any ideas of on topics, as I said in every other podcast episode, feel free to send that through to myself, to Marco, to Matt, to Harrison, to anyone in the office. And we'll endeavour to cover it in the coming weeks.
Yep.
We'll wrap it up here. Hopefully, you guys
27 minutes, guys. So hopefully you've enjoyed that episode.
A bit quicker.
Big congratulations again to our fellow podcaster
Matt,
and his beautiful wife Brooke, and their absolute little champion Hudson, who was born yesterday.
The day before yesterday. Yep. So if you've got Matt's email address, which I'm sure you all do, shoot him an email and tell him congratulations. Hopefully you enjoyed Pomona College in the background in California. Hopefully one day some of you students, athletes, performing artists out there can head to a school like that or that school.
Richard, welcome back. Thanks for coming back into my podcast.
No, no worries, back on your podcast. Marco, you'll probably be back next week, I'm guessing.
100%.
Awesome. So, look, as we said, we'll be back next week with another awesome episode. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. Hopefully you learned something. Don't forget to subscribe to YouTube and give us a star rating on iTunes.
Yep.
We're on every podcast app. We'll be on Spotify very soon as well.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.